Speaker three. Have you ever had a good vegetable lasagna?
No, I have. Well, I've only probably had lasagna like once in my life. Maybe sounds crazy.
Yeah, I understand that, but after moving here, I have to say that people have crazy food habits. I met somebody recently that had never had an orange. You don't know how to come back from that. It's like an orange.
That's probably not similar to local to California.
No, she was from Michigan, but even still.
That's kind of far-fetched. Like, I would think maybe someone not from the United States, if you're saying orange, that's just such a standardized
food
product.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can get out oranges here on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's been a month and a half before someone told me that Tuesday stuff. It's just, yeah, if you grab on that side, it's fine. Take on that side, it's not. Like, oh, thanks for the information.
Yeah, interestingly, my manager told on my first day, just have one real frugal, just one orange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Don't pick the second one.
I mean, is that frugality, or is that just
mm-hmm.
free at that point?
Yeah, at least he pointed to frugality. I don't know what he had in mind.
Well, frugality is a frame of reference. So, I mean, if you take two, it's better for you, right? Because now you've had more food and you can spend less on lunch. So, it's all a frame of reference.
How do you like the food?
Yeah, for a vegetable lasagna, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. I like it too.
Are any of y'all vegetarian?
No. Chicken is okay. This is getting famous in India as well.
Lasagna.
Yeah.
Isn't there usually, but like with dairy, that's okay there?
Do what?
The dairy and the cheese aspect of it?
Yeah, this should be okay. Yeah. Anything vegetarian is okay.
Well, I hear that some cheeses aren't vegetarian because they use like some part of like the insides of some animals to make
yeah.
the cheese.
Not be available there, but still vegetarian. Yeah, I'll catch it up. Yeah,
that's like gelatin, not vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good. I said, but it's good. I'm from Colorado. Well, at least growing up from Colorado. So.
Yeah, I'm originally from India, but the longest I've stayed in the United States is Texas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to school there in Houston.
Houston.
And then I was working in San Antonio for a bit.
So by school, are you talking university level or
yeah,
earlier?
University level, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
master's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So I'm curious, what was biggest difference that you noticed? I mean, there's obviously a lot of differences, but personally, what did you notice as biggest difference moving from the culture in India to Texas?
Coursework is what I found. India is like more theory-ish, at least the bachelor level. Then Texas was like a bit of a different place because, like, you know, it's so big, and so maybe the land aspect, like, you know, was kind of overwhelming because it like took 3 hours to get anywhere, and we wouldn't have cars because we had just come in, like, so that made life a bit tricky. Houston is hard, yeah, very hard.
Or Texas in general.
Yeah. And the place that I came from in India is like very well connected, at least public transportation wise. So yeah, that was a big difference. Apart from that, obviously missing family. That was big.
Population density probably also
Yeah,
helped.
oh yeah.
Space of our table here, there'd be like double the people
Double
in
the
India
people.
as
Oh
well.
yeah, easily, easily.
I think it's funny that three of us recently spent time in Texas because last year I moved here from Texas,
Oh, really?
in particular Houston. So, but yeah, population density is definitely different. Yeah, Houston is one of the bigger cities, higher population, but the second loop around the city is actually contains more area than the entire state of Connecticut.
Wow.
So
Talking about Beltway 8?
yes,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and now they're building the new Grand Parkway that is even farther out.
Yeah, Houston is kind of nice, humid, but widespread, and then, you know, like a lot of good food.
Just to clarify, you said nice and humid in the same sentence.
depending
Yeah.
on what part of
And a
India you're
bit
coming.
polluted too, from all the refineries around there.
Depending on what part of India you're coming from,
Right, that's true.
humidity may not be that big
Yeah,
of a deal.
yeah, that's true.
Are there parts of India that are like very dry, or are you
Probably
saying the humidity is not as bad?
there are some parts of India which are dry, mostly around like the northern parts, which are more landlocked. But I come from like a coastal place as well, so humidity was not a problem for me dealing with that. But I can see, like, because when I used to kind of go to Dallas to visit my uncle and then head back to Houston for a day or two, I used to feel it. Okay, this is different. Austin is nice. Austin is probably like California without the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, extremely liberal.
Transitioning here was like not a
Yeah,
big deal.
extremely liberal. Yeah.
I had assumed though that like that if I left Texas, everything would be smaller and closely packed together. So I was really surprised like how long it took to get to places, because I assumed it'd be super fast. And I also had assumed that like, oh, California is like super liberal, they might have like a better public transit system. It's better than Austin, but it's not as good as I assumed.
Do you mean like the distance from places in California? Like the expectation of thinking I could just jump in a car
Distance
and drive to Southern California and then not realize it's 8 hours?
No, like for example, South Bay to San Francisco, I thought that would be like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't also see like it was like it's roughly like 35, 40 miles. I
Yeah.
didn't realize it would be roughly an hour with traffic or
Yeah.
like with
If
low
it's an
traffic.
hour with traffic, you're doing good.
With low traffic.
Yeah, I guess California is a big state too, so I think it's like pretty comparable to Texas, like not as big as that, but probably if you go to like Connecticut or, you know, like places like that, maybe it's much more connected. Would get
Yeah, but in general in Texas with that big land, you can actually see the speedometer go past 20 miles an hour. I mean, here during rush hour, I can get out and walk and beat the next car home.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, that's true.
Population
Gotten out of
density, yeah.
Ubers, and then it's like you're walking past the Uber.
Interestingly, I read about Austin Airport that they, so Ubers are not allowed to come at the arrival, so they go to the departure and the terminals. And then arrivals like goes now to the departures. Like so people kind of people arriving actually end up coming out from the departing terminal. And then, you know, arrival.
A lot of laws because of the taxi unions, like they
can't
go to
airports. Exactly. Yeah.
It was that way for a long time. There's only like two airports they went to. Like I remember flying to LAX and you call a car and the guy's like, okay, I'm turning my sign off, and you're like, say what? They're calling you like, oh yeah. Like, oh, that's right.
Anyone have any vacation plans this summer?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Mendocino on the July 4th.
You're going where?
Just above Point Reyes. You know where Point Reyes is? Like
north of San Francisco.
Yeah, north of San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, I didn't, but...
No. It's a nice place. I've been there once before. Should be good, yeah.
You know what you're going to do?
Oh, just roam around the place, and there is a train. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Welcome to Northern California in the summer.
Yeah.
Fog.
Do the other fogs have names? Like San Francisco fog over the bridge is like Carl.
Carl the fog supposedly it started because a guy on Twitter created the account, and it's actually supposed to be a reference to the Tim Burton film where the giant was Carl and he just wanted a friend. Real Big Fish, I think, or Big Fish, is a reference to that movie. Why it got named, otherwise, I don't know. I think it's the only one I've ever heard of being named.
Mm-hmm.
They just figured, like, famous, I guess, weather phenomenons were being named. You know how, like, hurricanes have names.
It started with someone creating a Twitter account, which they thought was an internal report. San Francisco in the summer and it's like 50 degrees and completely fog. Then you go to Marin and you're like, and it's 85.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to California. Have a microclimate.
Well, that doesn't just happen in California. I think it happens anywhere you've got nearby mountains and water.
True. I mean, this area is pretty extreme. Like, you see people lining up to go to Santa Cruz on the freeway and it's just, you're driving into fog.
I grew up in Southern Colorado, and I just remember being out in shorts and driving 35 miles to Colorado Springs and them having a foot of snow.
Elevation change, though?
So there is some elevation change, but mainly due to how the mountains are, it creates a pressure bowl. So most of the storms in Colorado Springs didn't actually make it south. So you literally, if you ever go look, you'll see that there is a bowl that frequently doesn't get snow. It's a Highlands Desert, and all around it you'll have feet of snow. Now, every once in a while you'll actually get a reverse moisture condition, and you get a huge amount of snow there, and not in the other areas, but that's maybe every 5 or 6 years, I'm guessing. I never actually plotted the time, but it's rare. I grew up there, so for the vast majority of my life. It wasn't until I moved to Houston that I left Colorado. So 2012.
Somehow the impression of Colorado that's given, like, so we have these presentations that many schools kind of come in, and while in India, so in order for the prospective students to get into the, like, master's level, like education or something, they have, like, school authorities come down, make presentations to the students that, hey, you know, we are from this university and we have business courses and, you know, so much and so forth, research and stuff. And Colorado, the way they advertised this was like, it's probably the most beautiful state in America. And, you know, just come on here, they showed up the mountains and, you know, everything. And that was true. And when I visited, it was actually one of the most beautiful places that I saw.
I think it's really pretty, and Denver here should pretty soon actually have decent mass transit. I started a bond about 40 years ago to actually build trains out, and then I think 7 or 8 years ago they actually started building the light rail system. Unfortunately, just like here, it's got stops way too frequently and too slow, so you can walk faster than the train, but such is mass transit, it seems. But I enjoy Denver primarily because I like the snow. I like cold. But unlike a snowstorm on the East Coast or, on the Great Lakes area, it's not a wet snow. It's not as cold. So it will get cold and it will snow, and the next day it's relatively nice. The snow generally doesn't stay on the ground for more than a day or two. The record is that snow is on the ground for a month. So it's not like the East Coast where it's constantly bitter cold.
Sorry, I'm unfamiliar with snow. What is wet snow compared to, I assume, dry snow?
So the same difference of a 90-degree day in Houston versus a 90-degree day in Austin. Imagine the cold. Reverse of that. So when it's humid and wet, first of all, the water penetrates all of your clothes.
Wet, you stay wet, not very.
Well, so you, I'm
Like a wet snow, if you think about it, it's actually heavier. It's still cold enough where it makes snow, but there's just like a heavier density to it. It's not like the light fluffiness of something like dry. I think part of maybe what you're getting at on the East Coast is also like because it's ocean level.
I'm not identifying the cause of the East Coast. I'm just identifying this difference. The biggest danger for driving is people driving in it. So my experience, growing up in Colorado is that there's the problem with drivers is that there will be some that are incredibly slow and trying to be cautious, and the irony is that that causes people to slam on their brakes. And problem with snow and problem with any condition when you're driving is loss of traction. And you're fine going straight as long as you go straight. You really run into a problem when you try and change your velocity or your angle. So you turn, you have an acceleration. You try and go faster, you have acceleration, try and brake. So slamming on the brakes is a problem. The biggest one that I recall seeing going to the ski resorts is the number of Subarus that were off the side of the hill, because
The
that
four-wheelers, right?
they got an all-wheel drive Subaru, so that somehow makes them be able to handle better ice,
Right.
and that doesn't. But I would get studded snow tires, and that would do so much good as far as helping traction.
It's not
snow, it's the chaining, I guess. Yeah, even that I've seen people doing.
So chains make a lot of noise. What I would do on my car is literally, I had two sets of tires. I had a set of summer tires and then a set of tires that it was a softer rubber and literally had metal studs in them that would stick through what I think he's going to mention is the ice. And if you get a warm enough day that it melts off the snow, then there is no ice. The nasty one is when you get enough heat during the day that you create water
Right.
and then it freezes.
I got a four-wheel drive, but yeah, it didn't really work too well. And it is the risk isn't so much the snow, it's the melting of it and then the refreezing of it. Like if you go to Canada where it doesn't melt, I mean, I've driven the Great Canadian Highway between like Banff and Jasper and those huge places up there in Alberta, and you see semis doing 120 kilometers. And they're fine because there's a base pack and they're just going. And it's a wide open stretch also, right? It's not curved, it's somewhat straight, and it doesn't get to the point where it melts during the day and
Right.
it refreezes at night and creates it just like it's hard pack basically. So maybe we'll drive through it.
I think the other thing that commonly caused accidents, and usually pile ups, is in the mountains you've got you've got bends in the road. So one side of the mountain is hot and dry and the road is clear, but on the other side it's been shaded all day and so it freezes. So you have these people driving, oh, the road is just fine, and they get around the bend and all of a sudden they don't have any traction and they're going too fast. And for the first car you have an accident, but the next car follows up and now they've got an accident and nowhere to go. So... Curiosity slowdowns. There we go. That's what we need. We just need to have a system where anytime you have an accident, you can have radio broadcasts, a narration of the accident so people don't have to actually look. just put it into ways. So instead of saying, hey, there's an accident. Well, on the left, there's a three-car pileup. The first one was a white sedan. The person wasn't looking and turned left into oncoming traffic. The second... The cops arrive 14 minutes later, and now they're working on finding a tow truck to get the traffic hauled away. You don't need to look anymore, because now you know what happened.
Until someone comes up with their picking up body parts, and then
you... So maybe some censoring.
They're like, and there was a motorcycle, and the helmet's on that side, the forearm's on that side.
I saw a Mustang hit a bear.
A bear.
A bear.
like a real life.
Well, I'm guessing more along the lines of baby. Because I was the car behind, it was at night. Saw the Mustang slam on the brakes, and you see this black thing run off. But it wasn't as big as a full-size grizzly. I've seen those. And it wasn't... It could have been a brown bear, but I guess I wouldn't be able to tell at night. But, yes, the Mustang was totaled. Driver was just fine, but there was no engine left. The guy at the bike just drops it and takes off running the other direction, not knowing where to go.
Yeah. I recently read, I think that this week itself, a woman killed a bobcat with her bare hands. That's what she's claiming.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know why you claim that.
Yeah, it's on CNN, so it's pretty reliable. They might have done some research, but yeah, that's what she was saying.
How would they prove that? Does she have, a body? week.
Bobcats aren't super big, but I don't know why you would claim that.
A lot of the cats are on the endangered species list. I can imagine just claiming, "Oh, it was with my own hands," because she doesn't want to get in trouble for, you know, it's self-defense if it's her own hands. Or just.
Or if you're claiming to have killed a bobcat with your own hand.
Yeah, I'm sure it's for self-defense and stuff, but yeah, she didn't.
It's so weird, because I've seen bobcats in, like, hiking trails out here, and they're not big, right? I mean, they're slightly bigger than my house cat, like 20, 25 pounds,
Really?
and they're quick. They don't hang around for you. They don't attack humans. It's not a mountain lion. You know what I mean? Like, in parts of Santa Clara Valley, some of the trails, like by Stevens Creek, they've had mountain lions attack, you know, kids or hikers or mountain bikers. And, I mean, a mountain lion will mess you up. And then they, you get a bunch of people, go out and trank it and capture it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was, like, 5 or 6 years ago, there was one at, like, Machete Winery out by Stevens Creek in Cupertino where a mountain lion actually killed someone's, like, 4-year-old. I mean, like, a bobcat, to me, that's kind of, like, a weird one because it's not, I mean, it's, like, small dog size. It's, like, 25 pounds. Deer will always go the other direction unless they're spooked. The weird one is, so I live in San Jose, the weird one is that someone released feral pigs years ago. So, like, someone had, like, pet pigs, and they thought it'd be a great idea when they were done. They're like, "Oh, it's too big for me to keep. So I'll just take it to a park in South San Jose and release it. It'll just become, you know, part of the environment." And so, like, now
It's green.
now a lot of the Santa Clara parks, in, like, San Jose, so, like, Quicksilver Park and a couple of the others down there, they have pigs that have basically become feral. And they're 400-pound sows. And they just, like, there's, if you go and Google search later, you can see articles from San Jose Mercury where they're like, "And people's lawns were destroyed by a pack of pigs." And, you know what I mean? Like, even the babies, they just shred everything.
Well, you know, at least in Texas, it's legal to hunt them from a hot air balloon. Not a helicopter, but a hot air balloon.
With a rifle or a bow?
I believe rifle, but I don't know. We'd have to look. The law was recently passed. Originally, they were trying for helicopter and hot air balloon, and apparently they settled on hot air balloon. Somebody.
Stable platform, maybe. Less vibration.
Oh, I have a feeling it has to do with who was invested in what company, but.
I mean, I guess it's like, as long as we can use our guns.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You mean, 'cause a helicopter has vibration. So you would be, like, more likely to hit the target from a hot air balloon, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're talking about wild hogs in the middle of a ranch. It's. It seems a rather obscure differentiation to me.
I mean, they have a lot of strange laws in various states. Like, I think they have a law that specifically, like, you cannot sell eyeballs, like human eyeballs. Which, like, generally I would like to not sell human body parts in general, but nice to know you can't sell eyeballs.
Eyeballs, yeah. My friends was telling me, "You know why people are so nice to each other in Texas? Like, because everybody has guns."
Yeah, I remember growing up, my high school was just, like, down the street from a gun range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had a reverse evacuation, so we basically were locked into the school and weren't allowed to leave, because, like, there were some gunshots that had gone off, not at the shooting range. Hours later, after the lockdown went away, we found out it was because there were some ducks that the farmers nearby were trying to shoot.
Oh, okay.